Good morning. I am very happy to be standing here and to open up God's Word with my friends. What do these five scenarios have in common? Number one, in June of 2013, 20 Major League Baseball players were accused of using performance-enhancing drugs. Number two, at Whole Foods, a customer returned for refund a bottle of conditioner which she had used and refilled with Kool-Aid. Number three, in April of 2013, an eight-story building in Bangladesh, which housed a garment factory, collapsed, killing 1,100 and 2,500 were injured. Number four, a 20-year-old man orders two tacos at Taco Bell and gets a cup for water, and then he uses his water-only cup to get a Dr. Pepper at the fountain. Number five, a member of our United States Congress spent $36,000 out of campaign contributions to buy NFL tickets for himself. What's the common thread? The answer, they're all examples of unjust gain. They're all examples of people benefiting financially at the expense of someone else. The baseball players who use drugs, they gain an unfair advantage over their teammates, and they keep their contract, they keep their paycheck. The Whole Foods customer gained a bottle of expensive conditioner and forced Whole Foods to pick up the tab, taking advantage of their no questions asked return policy. The building that collapsed in Bangladesh, that's an interesting and sad story. The upper floors, it turns out, were built without a building permit. Architects warned that the building was not strong enough to bear the weight and the vibration of the machinery. When cracks were detected in the walls, the workers were ordered back into the building, and that's when the building collapsed. The builders, the bosses, profited at the horrific expense of the workers. The guy at Taco Bell, he enjoyed a Dr. Pepper at the expense of the manager. The congressman who attended those exciting football games and sat in great seats, he did so at the expense of his constituents. He used their money and they knew nothing about it. Let me add one more. This one's even closer to home. My own grandson, my five-year-old grandson, Timothy, came to our door and tried to sell his mom an earthworm for a dollar. That's extortion. Now, she would have bought one, but it turns out he was out of stock. So he sold her a ladybug for 50 cents instead. Thought that was a little more reasonable. And then, to his credit, he said, take your money back in case you want to buy something else, and you can keep the ladybug, too. But from garment workers to grandchildren, unjust gain is rampant. Consider some more examples. On one end of the spectrum, on the global end, there are huge social evils. In Nigeria, 300 girls have been kidnapped. The perpetrators say, we sell people. There's counterfeiting. There's identity theft. Illegal drug trafficking. Hundreds of billions of dollars worldwide each year are spent in that industry, doing incalculable harm to many, while others grow rich at their expense. Now, those are just a few of the big ones. On the other end of the spectrum, we have elementary schools bullying a classmate to get his lunch money. Or you have a young child taking money out of mom's purse or off of dad's dresser without asking. Or a shopper keeping the extra change when the cashier makes a mistake at checkout. Whether it's world leaders or children, whether it's countries or schools, it's all the same thing. Unjust gain. People benefiting at the expense of others. People gaining by stepping on someone else. As you can imagine, it's especially prevalent in the workplace. Now, business done to the glory of God is a beautiful thing. People earn an honest living. Businessmen make a profit. Shareholders make a profit. Businesses compete in healthy ways where everybody wins when it's done right. But it's all too easy to cross a line into unjust gain, where a businessman could bury his competition with lies or gossip, or maybe steal his tools, or an employer can overwork or underpay his workers. Employees can simply call in sick when they are not. 2/3 of the workers who call in sick at the last minute aren't ill at all. It causes a lot of problems for employers. Employees can steal cash or tools or food or office supplies from their employers. $50 billion stolen annually from U.S. businesses by employees. Employees can steal time, getting paid for time spent on things other than company business. Businesses can pursue unjust gain by cutting corners on the quality of their goods, by overbilling, or by just outright lying to their clients. I took a vehicle to a dealership. They said, "Mr. Bergstrom, you need brakes, $500 in a total brake job." I took the vehicle to my trusted mechanic. He said, "There's nothing wrong with your brakes." It's hard to think of a subject more relevant than this one. It touches each of our lives. We need God's wisdom on this. We need to hear from God how we as his children can navigate in a world awash in unjust gain. Now, in the passage we're going to look at this morning, God speaks loud and clear. In a nutshell, he says to you and me, have nothing to do with unjust gain. Stay off that path. I'd like you to take your Bibles, or you can follow along on the screens, to Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 10 through 19. Proverbs 1, 10 through 19. These verses break into two units. In verses 10 through 14, Solomon gives us an example of unjust gain and then shows us how enticing it is. And in verses 15 through 19, he gives two reasons why we should stay off that path. And together, this passage we're going to read addresses this question: why avoid unjust gain when it is so enticing? Why should we, as God's people, battle unjust gain when it is so hard to resist? Let's read. "My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, 'Come along with us,'" and here's his example, "let's lie in wait for someone's blood. Let's waylay some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit." And here's the enticement: "We will get all sorts of valuable things. We'll fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us and we will share a common purse. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths." And here are the reasons: "For their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed blood. How useless it is to spread a net in full view of all the birds. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it." Why avoid unjust gain when it is so enticing? The passage begins with the words, "My son, my son." And those words set the tone for the instructions that follow. This isn't an edict from a tyrant saying, "Do this or else." It's not like a mean lunch lady, you know, "Stop having fun, be quiet." Rather, it's like a dad pleading with his child, "Listen to me, son, there's danger up ahead." It's like a dad warning his 6-year-old on a campout, "Watch out for poison ivy. Stay out of the poison ivy." These instructions are clearly for our own good. "My son, if sinners entice you, please do not give in to them." And then verse 11 gives this enticing scenario. It's a classic mugging where someone gets beaten up and gets robbed of their stuff. Now, you might be thinking, "Steve, I'm not enticed to do that. I'm not routinely tempted to mug somebody and take his stuff." Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'd be worried if it was otherwise. But this description of a classic violent robbery is used by Solomon as a picture of all types of ill-gotten gain. It has within it the basic components of all unjust gain. Ill-gotten gain, no matter what the form, is just like a mugging, where someone hurts another person to gain something for themselves. It's like ice cream. Consider ice cream. All ice cream is, at its core, vanilla. They start with vanilla and they add some cocoa and it becomes chocolate. They add some strawberries or some peaches or maybe some almonds or some mints. But no matter what you add to it, it is still essentially vanilla. And in the same way, all unjust gain, no matter what the flavor, is at its core a robbery. And Solomon wants us to see it in that light. In this hypothetical robbery, a group of guys are planning to stalk someone, ambush him, beat him up, and take his stuff. Verse 12 says they're planning to swallow him alive like the grave. It's a picture of the ground just opening up, and the victim just drops down. The guy has no chance of fighting back. They're going to hit him hard and take him down quickly. Some of you may remember Dan and Jenny Boyer. They attended our church years ago. Dan was a student at Dallas Seminary, and he helped out with the youth here. I saw Dan just a month ago. He was in town and he's looking good. Dan was mugged. He was filling up his car downtown Dallas, and some guys had set a trap. And they said, "Hey, sir, could you look at our car? I think we need a jump." And they had actually a pickup truck with the hood up. They called him over, and he, interested to help, he kind of looks in underneath the hood, and they pounced on him, and they beat him soundly. And somehow he staggered to his feet and managed to get his hand on the car handle as they sped away with his vehicle, and they drug him 100 feet or so down the road. He was in bad shape. What makes a crime like that so enticing? What makes any type of unjust gain enticing? The answer? Because it works. It works. Read with me verses 13 and 14. It says, "We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us, and we will share a common purse." At one moment, these thugs have nothing, and at the next moment, they have valuable things, plunder, and a common purse. It's a very easy way to get stuff. In Dan's robbery, these thieves gained a gassed-up car and a wallet, just like that. Way easier than getting a job and working for months to save up money to buy a car and to buy the fuel. Just steal it, and presto, you've got it. Valuable things. You've got a car. You've got a wallet. That's why unjust gain is enticing. At one level, the perpetrators, they benefit. The baseball player keeps his contract. The lady at Whole Foods enjoyed some expensive conditioner and got a refund. The bully gets the lunch money. The employee gets a day off with pay. And he wasn't even sick. Other verses in Proverbs bear this out. In 10:2, Proverbs speaks of the treasures of wickedness. In chapter 13, wealth gained by dishonesty. In chapter 15, the revenue of the wicked. Clearly, treasure, wealth, revenue can be attained in this manner. Unjust gain is unjust, but at some level, it's also gain. And that's what makes it enticing. Solomon warns us, don't give in to that enticement. Unjust gain's enticing for another reason as well. Because everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. In our verses, it's sinners, plural. They said, "Come with us. We will share a common purse. Let us swallow him alive." The path to folly is well traveled. We will have plenty of company on the road to unjust gain. Our family felt this enticement big time when Erica was away at college at Texas A&M. Now, I tell you this story not to pat myself on the back because I managed to resist. I tell it to you to stress how closely I came to falling, how I barely got out of this one. It was so enticing. Getting the girls through college was a difficult time for our family financially. At one time, we had all three girls in college. Erica called on the phone apologetically, "Dad, I need a computer program." I managed to ask the question, how much? $400. It was an engineering program, pretty complicated. We didn't have a spare $400. She needed the program. And all, when I say all, I mean all her classmates had free copies. They had all passed around a pirated copy of that program. Not one person that she knew of had paid for it. I heard the voice of folly, "Come with us. Throw in your lot with us. We'll have a common purse." But thankfully, we purchased it. Her friends were dumbfounded. "You spent $400? Why on earth would you do that?" Because software piracy is very enticing. It works. Everybody's doing it to the tune of $59 billion worldwide. So don't be surprised tomorrow when you are enticed. Don't be surprised when you come across a clever idea that'll get you out of a bind or make you some easy money or save you some money. Don't be surprised to hear yourself say, like I did, "That sounds like a good idea." But unjust gain is never a good idea. Now, it may appear to be a good idea, but it's not. In fact, it's a really bad idea, always, every time. Solomon says, "My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their path." Why? Why should we avoid unjust gain when it is so doggone enticing? Solomon gives us two reasons. The first reason is found in verse 16, and it should be obvious, but sadly, it's not. We should avoid unjust gain because it's wrong. It's sin. Read verse 16. It says, "For their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed blood." Whenever we benefit at someone else's expense, it's just like we're shedding blood. And that is morally wrong. From shoplifting a pack of chewing gum, or under-tipping a waitress that has served us at a restaurant, or sloughing off at work, we are, in effect, mugging someone and taking his or her stuff. Music is downloaded for free off of the internet at the rate of multi-billions of dollars a year. Many people say, no big deal. It doesn't matter if the artists get the royalties. Yet those same people, I suspect, would be outraged if their beloved artist, whose music they just downloaded and enjoyed, if they heard that he was beaten up on the street and mugged and pounded, they'd be outraged. But in effect, that's just what they're doing. They're shedding blood. I've heard of girls who buy shoes or a dress to wear for a single event from a merchant, knowing full well that after they've worn it to that party, they're going to return it. Now, that's a clever way to have new clothes without spending a dime. But Solomon is saying that doing that is just the same as ambushing that store manager, pounding him senseless, and taking his stuff. It matters to God that we treat others with honesty and integrity and justice. Jesus summed up the whole horizontal component of God's law with these words. He says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Unjust gain does the opposite. We take advantage of our neighbor to benefit ourselves. And we have an amazing capacity to justify our actions. We have a PhD in rationalization. We can do some pretty nasty things and convince ourselves that we're in the right. A long time ago, I had an old car, a Datsun B210. It's a rusty old thing. I had a friend of mine do some makeshift welding on the front end to hold it together. A man came to buy that car from me, and the voice of wisdom in my head said, "Steve, tell him about the repair. Tell him about the repair." But I rationalized in my mind. I said, "Well, it's an old car. He would expect repairs. He's not asking any questions, so I'm not going to volunteer anything, and it's probably safe." Bottom line, I sold a car that was potentially unsafe, and I didn't tell him the whole truth. I was afraid that if I told him, he wouldn't buy the car, and I wouldn't get that cash that I wanted so badly. It took me a long, long time to finally admit I was wrong. I sinned. The love of money is so powerful, it blinds us to the harm we're doing others. God demands integrity in our financial pursuits, and anything short of that is sin. That's reason number one. And that should be reason enough for God's people to stay off that path. But there's another reason. Not only is unjust gain sin, Solomon tells us that it's lethal as well. It destroys the lives of those who pursue it. Solomon likens unjust gain to a deadly trap. A deadly trap that we set for ourselves. Let's look at verse 16 and 17. It says, or 17 and 18, it says, "How useless to spread a net in full view of all the birds. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves." Back in Solomon's day, people spread nets on the ground to catch birds. I honestly don't know why. Maybe for sport, maybe for food. As a boy, I did it for fun. I didn't use a net. I used a box about the size of a bale of hay. And I hinged a door on the box that would lay flat on the ground. In theory, the birds would follow the cracker crumbs onto that lid. And then the rope that I had strung up to my second story window, I'd be watching. I'd pull it and the bird on the door would go into the trap. In theory. Never caught a bird. Never caught a bird. No bird who happens to have a brain the size of a BB would ever walk into a trap that obvious. But Solomon says, we do. Every time we pursue unjust gain, we trap ourselves. There's another boyhood story. I was about 10 years old or so, a buddy and I went down to the woods to set a trap for an animal. I have no idea what animal we were thinking of. Don't even know if there were animals in that woods. But we were going to set a trap. We'd seen Daniel Boone on TV, and that was us. So we found a tree in the woods that was about that big around and maybe about 25 feet tall. And so we shinnied up the tree together, and the tree started to bend just as we planned, and down to the ground. And we took a rope and we staked it to the ground. We were clever. Then we took a rope at that end that's closer and a little bit up, tied a rope to that tree and put a noose with a slip knot and laid it on the ground and covered it with leaves. Then one of us had the bright idea, said, "Let's see if this thing works." Now, at the time, it made perfect sense, just perfect sense. So we each put one foot into the noose. And one of us reached over with a knife, cut the rope, and guess what? It worked. The tree went up, and we went up with it. We find when the things settle down, we're just resting on our necks and our shoulder blades. I remember thinking as I was holding on to my buddy at that moment, this was not smart. But so it is with unjust gain. When the trap is sprung, guess what? We are its victims. We are the ones left hanging upside down by our ankles. Verse 19 says, such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it. When we step on someone to gain something for ourselves, we do so at our own peril. Despite the appearance of personal gain, we are in reality destroying ourselves. Now, this verse does not elaborate on that phrase, it takes away the lives of those who get it. We don't often see this play out in clear ways. Often, all we see is the bully getting away with the lunch money. We're limited in what we can see. But this verse is clear. Somehow, when we participate in unjust gain, it drains our vitality. It's like an infection. Other verses in Proverbs give us some clues as to the negative consequences of unjust gain in our lives. I thumbed through Proverbs looking along these lines. In chapter 3, verse 12, it says that the Lord disciplines those he loves. In 3:11, it says, wealth gained by dishonesty will diminish. In 15:27, it says, he who is greedy for gain troubles his house. 15:16, it says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. These verses suggest that the trap includes the discipline of God, diminishing wealth, trouble for our families, and then just assorted trouble. In addition to that, I think it's fair to assume that to the degree that we follow this folly of unjust gain, we will forfeit the benefits of wisdom. That makes sense. The benefits of wisdom, as I thumbed through the book, included peace of mind, pleasant ways, sweet sleep, contentment, wholesome influence on others, a cheerful heart, to name just a few. All of those compromised by unjust gain. That's quite a trap. And this is not karma at work. You know, what goes around comes around. This is God at work, and he has infinite means at his disposal to make our lives miserable if he needs to. Bottom line, we won't get away with it. The wheels of justice may grind slowly, but they grind surely. And in case we think that this is just some Old Testament principle, I think of Paul's words in the New Testament in Galatians where he says, don't be deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Whatever we hope to gain from our unjust schemes is far less than we stand to lose. Let me say that again. Whatever we hope to gain from our unjust schemes is far less than we stand to lose. Unjust gain comes with a hefty price tag. It takes away the lives of those who get it. My friends at Centerpoint, integrity in financial pursuit is a rare virtue in our culture. It's pretty bleak out there. And that means that together as a church, we have a golden opportunity to stand out by treating other people beautifully with honesty, integrity, and justice. I heard of a man who took the high road in a financial transaction when he didn't have to. This guy was an antique collector. He made his living by finding good deals at garage sales and flea markets, and then he would resell those items for a profit. It was just a good, honorable profession. But one day at a garage sale, he came across a situation that crossed a moral line. It was beyond reasonable garage sale ethics, and he sensed that. And I respect his discernment and his integrity in this matter. There's nothing wrong with getting a great deal at a garage sale, a great bargain, but this one was in a league of its own. While milling around with a bunch of other shoppers, he saw a pot. It was a small decorated pot. $2, for sale, $2. Upon closer examination, he realized that pot was valuable. He estimated that that little pot was worth $1,500. And here's what he did. He picked up that pot and he carried it over to the homeowner and he handed it to her and he whispered something in her ear. He said, "You may want to put this pot back in the house. It's worth more than $2. Let's be that kind of people. People who love others more than we love money. People who refuse to take advantage of another to gain for ourselves, no matter how enticing it is. Let's pray. Lord, give us the strength and the courage to follow your wisdom in a world that largely ignores it. For Jesus' sake, amen.